Boop, boo, da doo, doo, da doo. Hi, Sophie.
That's not how this starts. So I got a question from one of my friends the other day.
Uh-huh.
And
which friend? Huh?
Jason.
Jason.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And he asked me, he listened to the podcast, and he asked me just randomly in person, like, what's your favorite title of nobility?
Titles of nobility, like, I don't know, like sir or something.
Is that nobility?
No, not really. That's a knight, I guess.
Or royalty, I mean.
Royalty and nobility? I don't know. We could expand it to both.
Sure, why not?
Because nobility would be like, is like royalty but lower. Because royalty is specifically like kings and queens and whatever, right?
Yeah, prince.
And then nobility is like below that, like barons and baroness and stuff like that.
I suppose so.
Okay, cool. Do you want to go first? Do you have an answer?
Duchess. Yes.
Why?
Because I've been watching a lot of Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, and there's a character named Duchess.
Is it her name?
Yes.
She's not just like the Duchess. She's called Duchess?
Yes.
Really?
What is a Duchess?
I don't know.
It just sounds cool. It's like you don't have any responsibility, but you got a cool title.
it's like, I don't know. I guess the Dutch and Duchess is just like, is that a step below or above Baron? I don't know.
I feel like it's higher for some reason. I'd like to say it's higher.
So you've got like barons. Well, okay, maybe lords. Are lords the lowest? Or is that just a general thing?
I think
are
these a all lords? Name.
Is there... How does it like in high school, like homecoming and stuff?
Oh, it's king, queen.
Uh-huh.
Prince, princess.
Okay.
And I think it goes Duchess.
Duchess and then Baron. No, there's no Baron. Is there a Baron?
There's not a Baron. That's only in Werewolf. Look up a list. See if there's like a list online. Okay. We have technology.
What would this be called? Like feudal nobility?
Yes.
Okay. Imperial, royal, princely, other nobles, and chivalric ranks. Number one, emperor/empress. Then king/queen. Mm. Archduchess.
Duchess.
Oh, right. It's Duke. Duke. Dang, I can't speak. Duke and Duchess.
So they're...
Archduke and Archduchess. Duke. I cannot speak.
Duchess.
Archduke and Archduchess. Then you got Grand Prince, Grand Princess, Grand Duke, Grand Duchess. Those are on the same level.
Mm.
Then Prince and Princess.
Oh, so they're not right after the King and Queen?
I guess not.
That's weird.
Well, you have Grand Prince and... I don't know. This is just some... I don't know what this list is, but it's on Wikipedia, so I believe it. Then you've got normal Duke and Duchess. Then sovereign prince, sovereign princesses.
What does sovereign mean?
In the context of a country, it means like self-governing, doesn't it?
Mm.
So that probably means it's like a prince or a princess who has their own like land that they control, would be my guess. Sovereign means a supreme ruler, especially a monarch, possessing supreme or ultimate power. So like a sovereign state has its own power, I guess.
Okay.
So I guess those are princes and princesses who have their own power. Huh. Then you have marquises.
Oh, we know those.
Yes. Then count and countess. Then viscount and viscountess.
Vicomte.
Then baron and baroness. Then baronet and baronettess. Then knight or dame. Then esquire or laird or some other words.
Hmm.
And then minor titles are gentleman, younger, or maid. Are you still sticking with Duchess after hearing the full list?
I kind of like the idea of a grand prince or princess.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I think that's kind of cool.
I like the term viscount.
I like that too.
Because it's like, the way I read it is it says one step below count, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a discount count, but instead they changed the D to a V just so you didn't know they were being insulted directly.
That's what Raoul is in The Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, he's a viscount.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
The Vicomte de Chenny.
Vicomte. Yes.
The Vicomte. Would you like a baguette with that?
Yeah, I'm going definitely with viscount.
Cool. Yeah,
Or I guess it might be pronounced Vicomte. I don't know. Vicount. Probably, maybe V. I don't know. You going with
spelled?
V-I-S count.
Yeah, you know what? I like the idea of a sovereign princess because that just sounds really cool.
All right, there you go, Jason. You know the answer now. And people...
Who's Jason?
Your friend?
Oh, yeah!
people, ask us questions. We need more questions to start these. If you ask
Don't
us,
tell him that. Don't tell him we're desperate.
If you ask us a question, there's a good chance it'll be answered. Cool. You ready to get started?
Yes, are you?
I am. So, Sophie. speaking of titles of nobility, the person I'm going to tell you about doesn't have one.
Okay, cool. I was hoping he wouldn't.
She. Unless you consider sainthood to be a title of nobility.
What is what?
Sainthood.
What? You got saints?
I'm telling you about a saint. Yes. And
who is she?
Well, she is a farm girl from the east side of France in the 1400s.
What's her name?
Joan of Arc.
Oh, okay. Well, I should have seen this coming, but for some reason I thought you were just going to try and steal Catherine from under me.
Well, you already did a whole episode on her.
I feel like you would just be this person who would like to be like, actually,
and she was Italian. I said France.
I was not listening to anything you just said.
So, Joan of Arc, yeah, I figured, like, I already knew a lot about her, kind of. Like, everyone kind of knows a little bit about her. But I figured I'd go learn a bit more. So, yeah.
Well, here's something funny.
What?
You ever seen Frozen?
I have not seen Frozen.
There's, like, a part where little Princess Anna is, like, walking around, is, like, singing and walking around, and there's a picture of Joan, and she's, like, and she goes, "Hang in there, Joan." And my mom first watched it, she was like, "How did Joan of Arc die? Did she get hanged?" And I was like, "That'd be really dark." So I'm just keeping it up.
Oh, you don't know how she died?
I do, but okay,
cool. Well, speaking of how she died, how she was born, she was born in the, well, I mean, as you know, all things that are born eventually die.
I need to break it to you, kids.
She was born in the, I don't know how to pronounce this, but I'm going to say Duchy, I don't know, Bar, which is like a little, like that's a, France was divided into like these places called, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Duchy. And this was the one of Bar, was the name of it. It's on sort of like the east side of France bordering the Holy Roman Empire, which is, you know, modern Germany. And she was born in about 1412. We don't really know for sure. And this was sort of towards like the middle end of the Hundred Years' War between England and France. Which, in case you don't know, went from 1337 to 1453. At the time, there was also a sort of civil war going on between the Burgundians, which were followers of the Duke of Burgundy, and the Armagnac party, which was, or that's probably not how you pronounce that, but those were the followers of King Charles, or at the time, well, at the time she was born, he was Dauphin Charles. I don't know if that, I might be pronouncing these things all wrong. It's like dolphin, but instead of an O-L,
Dauphin.
It's A-U, Dauphin. Dauphin. Yeah, and that's basically the name of, like, the son of the king until they become the king.
Okay.
But I guess, yeah, so, like, he hadn't been, like, officially coronated yet.
Yeah.
And she basically was just, like, a farm girl when she was, younger. And, well, the way you become, go from being a farm girl to, like, one of the most important people in your country's history, country, that's the word I was trying to say, country's history, is by having visions of some saints.
That's the way to do it.
It's, like, the only way. Actually, at 13, when she was 13 years old, she had visions of St. Catherine. A different one. St. Michael and St. Margaret, who told her to drive out the English.
English? You've been talking weird all day, and it's honestly amazing.
I can't do it. Who told her to drive out the English and bring the Dauphin, Charles, to the city of Reims, R-E-I-M-S, for his coronation.
Huh. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
What saints did you say she saw?
Catherine, Michael, and Margaret.
Who's Margaret Saint of?
I have no idea who any of these are, to be honest.
I once had a book of saints. I don't remember. Michael's just a popular name.
Yeah. There's probably a lot of Saint Michaels.
Oh, of course.
Like the one who founded the craft store. Saint Michaels.
And the hard lemonade.
Oh, yeah.
Saint
right.
Mike. Anyway.
What such a saintly food. So that was at the age of 13. And then when she's 16, she's like, you know, I need to do something about those visions. It's been 3 years. Nothing has just like fallen in my lap. So I'm just going to get up and do it myself. I guess that was her thinking.
Yeah.
So she goes to a nearby town and asks the military commander there for a military escort to the royal court. She's
that's
just
the
like,
way to do it.
She's like, hi, I'm a 16-year-old girl, farm girl. Never met you. Take me to your leader.
That's the way to do it. That's how I would do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, just walk into the neighboring town, find, like, the
heck
military people there. Yeah.
Assert yourself.
She was denied, sarcastically, of course. But She returned later in the year, and this time she got another meeting with the same guy who she asked before. But in order to do that, she like just sort of like made friends with some of his soldiers first. And then they were like, yeah, sure, we can get you a meeting with him. And then so when she was there, she was like, wait, I'm going to convince you that I know what I'm talking about. And she predicted like a major reversal in a battle that was going on. And they didn't know what the outcome of the battle was because the messengers were on their way.
Uh-huh.
And she predicted the outcome of like a surprising outcome.
Yeah.
And she predicted it accurately. And then the messengers arrived and reported it. And then the guy was like, oh, wow, you know stuff. And I'll take you to Dauphin Charles.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get an audience with the king. Or, well, you almost king.
Stuff.
Yep.
She was a seer.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
I mean, I guess, like, well, we should try to put this into effect. Like, if us and everyone listening to this, if we just make enough, like, random predictions, eventually someone's going to get something right.
Yeah.
And then they can get a meeting with, like, the leader of whatever country they're in. And, yeah, that's probably...
I don't want that.
That's true. That's true.
That's not going to end well.
We'll wait a few years. anyway, in a few years, we can put this into effect and then, you know, get a meeting with, like, Bernie Sanders or whatever. just everyone keep that in mind. In a few years, unless you live in a different country, you know, just go out and make some random predictions to military leaders. And eventually, when one of them comes true, pretend you're psychic.
Let's hope that you don't get, I don't know, burned alive.
Could happen. Risk of the job. So basically, she gets escorted to this meeting with Dauphin Charles.
That's amazing.
And she was dressed as a male soldier to get her there, sort of to, like, sneak her in.
Mulan it.
Yeah, pretty much. That's going to become important later.
Yeah.
And when she's 17, she arrives at the court. And apparently, she made a very strong impression on him at first. And basically, after this first meeting, she gets sent at the head of the army in a relief effort to the city of Orleans, which was currently under siege by the English. And she was like, yeah, I can go there. If you send me there, I will reverse that siege. So
that's so crazy.
They gave her sword, armor, a banner, and a horse. And they were like, you're in the front.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's cool, but that's insane.
I mean, yeah, it's like any military leader who does this is obviously either insane or very smart. And they can totally see how this is going to work out. Or very dumb and very lucky.
Or very gullible.
But... sort of, you have to understand the situation here.
Yeah.
They've been in the middle of this war for a really long time.
They're desperate.
Yeah, and they've just been losing battle after battle. And this king, like, well, this not even king yet, but he's like, he's really in a desperate position.
Free king.
And basically everyone was completely demoralized.
Mm-hmm.
So after he basically had this meeting with her, he was like, well, that was inspiring for me. Mm-hmm. Maybe everyone else would get that. But then also he like these were religious people and he believed... He believed in her, like, divine abilities or whatever.
He needed that, like, belief support, I guess.
Yeah. I have a quote here from historian Stephen W. Ritchie. He says, "Only a regime in the final straits of desperation would pay any heed to an illiterate farm girl who claimed that the voice of God was instructing her to take charge of her country's army and lead it to victory."
That's awesome.
Yeah, she couldn't read, even.
No, I know that. I watched a movie.
It's basically, like, the king's like, what other choice do I have?
Exactly.
Might as well try this.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, it also turns the conflict into a religious one.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been fighting for a long time, but now it's like, oh, now it's serious. Because it's like, now this is a Catholic Church thing.
Yeah.
And because of that, Dauphin Charles wanted to make sure that she was, like, legit.
Yeah.
So he basically hires, like, a group of people to investigate her, a religious inquiry, to verify that she's not, like, a witch.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows that the English will use that against him and, like, the Burgundians.
That'd be an interesting tactic.
Yeah. But the inquiry says she's clean. My words. But they don't know that they know that she's not, like, a witch, but they don't know that she's actually divinely inspired. So they need to be she needs to be tested. So then it's like, okay, if she lifts the siege of Orleans, then which we haven't been able to do with our brilliant military commanders, then she must be from the god.
Did they really have a brilliant command?
I mean, they had, like, at least experienced, like, commanders and stuff. I don't know if any of them were particularly good at being military people, but at least they were experienced and they'd been trying to lift the siege for a while.
So we know about sainthood. So we know that she has some visions. That's one thing. So far, in your research, did it say anything about having, like, more than one?
She had these visions once. I think that was all. But then she also performed, like, this miracle of, like, completely transforming the army, kind of, and being this leader.
Like Mulan!
Yes. I mean, yeah, they're kind of similar stories. really.
Yeah.
There's a lot of debate about over how much she was actually, like, involved in the military.
Mm-hmm.
By her own report, she never killed anyone, and the army was always directly under the control of someone else.
Uh-huh.
But all of the leadership of the army basically trusted her because they thought she was a divine figure, so whatever she would say, they'd just kind of go along with it. So she had a lot of influence, huh. Even though she was more just like sort of standing at the front, waving her banner.
She was kind of like a public figure almost.
Yeah, like
sign of like mm-hmm. divinity, I guess.
Yeah, she was much more there just for morale purposes, uh-huh. And
I guess it worked.
Yeah, she said there was like another quote, I don't remember it exactly, but she said something about how like she would always like use her banner rather than her sword.
I like that too.
Yeah, basically, as soon as she arrives at the front of this relief army. To the battle or the siege of Orleans, everything Orleans? Changes. Yeah, like you know how there's New Orleans. It's this is the old one. Yeah,
the one that got rid of for the new one.
So she leads an offensive charge, uh-huh. And pretty quickly takes an arrow to like between her neck and her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But despite that, she keeps going and she keeps encouraging the charge. Mm-hmm. And eventually, they end up taking the fortress, nice. Like in the first charge. And all of a sudden, like, everyone in the French leadership supports her, basically unanimously. Yeah. And the English, of course, conclude that she was sent by the devil.
Well, yeah, of course.
And they, like, legitimately believed that, too. It wasn't just, like, a propaganda thing.
No, yeah, I assume that was true.
They actually believed that.
Those are religious times, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, of course, useful propaganda for them. Oh, but they also believed it. Yeah.
So when she was up there waving her banner and, like, inspiring mm-hmm. everyone being in the front, did she look like a guy?
I don't know. She wasn't, like, everyone knew who she was.
Okay, so they knew that she was a female.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah, at least I think. But, yeah, I don't think they made any effort to hide that. She was wearing, like, the same military kind of gear as everyone else, so it was probably hard to tell, but I think they all knew who she was.
Okay, so it wasn't concealed.
No, good. No. After this, so now everyone, like, even more so than before, they start listening to everything she says.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, a whole bunch of bridges or something that the English controlled. The Burgundians. Yeah. And before this, they've been really hesitant to try to take these. But she's like, no, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So they all make a move to try to take the bridges. And then they succeed. And so it's like everything she says so far is just, like, it's working out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start marching towards Reims, the place where she wants to, like, coronate the king. Because that was what her vision told her to do. And because they're under her leadership, or at least partially because of that, all the towns in the path surrender, and a lot of them return to French allegiance without even fighting.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one that doesn't, and that is Troyes, Troyes. Ooh. And Troyes was basically the site of a treaty, which originally tried to, like, disinherit the king.
Yeah.
And so they really don't like him, and they're the only city to put up a fight. Here's my favorite part.
Yeah.
So the army gets to the city of Troyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they need to take it, which they can do fairly easily because, you know, a big army. It's one little town. But they're really hungry by the time they get there. Uh-huh. Like, they haven't had a lot of food and provisions. But fortunately, and also because it's not like the growing season for most crops. But fortunately, Brother Richard, a wandering friar, had been preaching about the end of the world. Like, he had been going around preaching about the end of the world.
Uh-huh.
And he had convinced the residents of Troy that they needed to grow food earlier.
Uh-huh.
So they planted beans, which sprout earlier. And so they ripened just as the army arrived in time to feed them. So they had this supply of beans because of this crazy friar preaching about the end of the world.
Just, like, beans?
Beans.
Like,
they grow faster than other things, I guess.
Oh, do they?
Or at least they ripen or, like, sprout earlier.
Like green beans or just... Like, the little brown ones.
It just said beans.
Beans.
So.
Why are you obsessed with beans?
I wasn't expecting this. It just happened.
It was meant to be.
Yeah.
It was as Joan of Arc foretold.
Yeah. So, like, there's just this crazy guy who comes in. He's like, everyone must plant beans.
It sounds like you. That's you as an old man.
And they did. And then they fed the army once the army took over.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm glad this is your favorite part. Oh, God.
So they move on, they get to Reims, and the king is coronated.
Awesome.
Yeah, so now he's King Charles the VII, I think. Seventh. Yeah.
Is it the...
90% sure.
You sure it's not the 14th?
Yeah, and this is where their luck starts to turn around a little bit. So they start to march on Paris, which mm-hmm. is one of the last things held by the English. Or is it the English? The Burgundians? I didn't write that down.
The English.
But they start to march on Paris. And in the assault on Paris, it doesn't go very well. Joan is wounded, crossbow bolt to the leg. Oh, also in there somewhere when they were taking some other city, someone dropped like a rock on her head, but that she was fine.
On purpose?
Yeah, like in an attack.
Oh.
Yeah, she puts up with a lot.
Yeah.
So she takes a crossbow bolt to the leg. The army has to retreat, but and she escapes for a while, so she's fine. And then they don't really have much fighting because they sort of come to a truce, like a brief truce with the English.
Uh-huh.
So she just has a few months to not do much. She like writes some angry letters.
To who?
What was it? She wrote, I think to, I didn't write it down, but she wrote to like a, it was either the English or some Burgundians. And she was like, hey, you have these lands. Those are like holy lands or something that belong to us.
Holy lands.
Yeah. So she basically, she spent a couple months writing angry letters to people.
She was, and she was
dictating
like,
angry letters because she doesn't write.
She was, well, that's right. Yeah. But she was still like around 17, right?
Yes.
Around this age.
So probably 18 now, but yeah.
But still, like, probably an angry teenager.
Yeah.
I imagine it's, like, riddled with poetry. That's what I like to imagine.
Like, angsty poetry by Joan of Arc.
With, like, some, like, backhanded God stuff in there. Awesome.
Yeah. So she has a few months. And then the Burgundians siege a place. And she goes to, like, ride in and stop the siege again. But she gets captured.
Oh, no!
By the Burgundians. And she is imprisoned in a tower. So the siege fails. She's in this tower now. Mm-hmm. And she tries to escape several times, including one time jumping out a 70-foot high window and landing on the soft ground of a dry moat. So I don't know. It didn't say she really got injured. She basically was fine.
Wow.
Yeah, she just jumped out a 70-foot window. Yeah, and then after that, the Burgundians were like, we can't deal with this girl.
So take her back.
Yeah, they negotiated with the English to take her instead.
Oh.
And so, yeah, the English were like, yeah, we'll take her. And then they tried her for heresy.
That was creepy. I didn't like that. Yeah, we'll
So they tried her for heresy.
Mm-hmm.
In the process, they broke a lot of their own laws, but like in trying her.
Really?
Yeah, it was like they needed some kind of evidence or something of like witchcraft in order to try her in the first place, which they didn't have.
Yeah.
And then they tried to, like, entrap her a bunch of times with a lot of, like, tricky, like, Christian or, like, Catholic legal stuff. Like, they asked, like, do you know if you are in the holy presence of God or something? And then apparently the answer to that, it's a trick question because if you say yes, they'll call you a witch because, there's something that says you aren't allowed to know that you are, even if you are. Like, it's impossible to know for sure. And if you say no, then you're admitting that to it. So either way, like either way you answer, it's a trick. But Joan was clever and she was like, I don't know, but I think, but like, if I am, hopefully God will show me soon. So they couldn't even get her on stuff like that, which is
clever.
Yeah, she's really clever, especially for being illiterate and not having read any of these things. Somehow she just knows all of it.
So she's never, was the Bible a thing?
Yeah, like
was the Bible a thing?
Yeah, yes, the Bible was a thing. Yeah, but she hadn't read any of it herself, but she was probably, like, taught some stuff when she was...
Yeah, of course. Well, like, wasn't back then, even though people would have a Bible, or even if they didn't, they would go to their church, and the priest would say it, so they would still kind of know.
But this was, like, the sort of thing that you... No one... Like, they got... Like, this was the sort of thing where they would, like, catch so many people doing, like, heretic things, I say in quotation marks, just because they could trap them with things like this, where they don't know that they aren't supposed to answer yes. But she was clever enough then. She was aware of that. So she, like, they couldn't actually get her for anything for that.
So they had to break their own laws to...
Yeah. Well, eventually they kind of got her on a loophole, even though it doesn't make any sense. They charged her with cross-dressing twice as a sign of heresy.
Mulan.
Yeah. So basically, also, the thing is, heresy isn't a capital punishment, so they couldn't kill her for doing it once. But repeat heresy is... so they were like, okay, well, we know you cross-dressed once, like, for when you were in the military thing. But then the second time was when they had her in prison, she wore, like, men's clothing so that basically she couldn't be raped.
That they gave her?
No, that she had already.
Oh, okay.
So then they were like, huh, you cross-dressed twice. And, yeah, then they burned her at the stake.
God. Where does Of Arc come from?
That's just where she's from.
Is that's where she's from? Are you sure?
I think. I mean, it's called, that's probably like the specific town. Let me look it up. She's in that like duchy or whatever.
Duchy.
The Duchy of Bar.
Ducky.
I believe that just means that she is from Arc. It's like the town or whatever.
Uh-huh. Okay, just making sure.
So yeah, that's her. She was burned at the stake.
Yeah, I know that for sure. Because when I talked to my mom about it, I was like, no, I'm pretty sure she was burned.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, okay. But that would be really dark.
Yeah. And then later mm-hmm. she gets canonized as a saint.
Well, yeah, she has to be, because that's kind of rad. And she died when she was like 18, 19?
19.
That's how old we are.
That's how old she said she was, at least. Mm. It was hard to know for sure.
I can assume. I would like to assume that maybe she was like a little bit younger.
Yeah.
I'd like to think she was.
Or older. I don't know. She might also have not known.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That was a very valid point. Huh. I had watched a long time ago. I remember watching a Joan of Arc movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I actually do remember the illiterate thing from like learning about her in class and also from the movie because it gave a visual representation. I don't remember exactly what part it was. It seemed like when she was at the stake, but she had to sign something and she didn't know how to sign her name. So she just did an X. And I remember asking someone like, why did she just sign an X? And they're like, she doesn't know how to spell. And I was like, whoa, that blew my little,
yeah,
I don't
apparently
know how
when
was,
she would like write letters
mind.
And stuff, she would sign them, but with the help of other people, like they would like guide her hand or whatever.
Well, this goes to show you that little illiterate farm women can go far. And
yeah. I mean
she did go far.
Yeah, she went very far.
Far enough to get for people to go through a lot just to get her killed.
Yeah, I mean it's sort of like a very rare circumstance that allowed her to do all this.
Well, that's for sure.
Because none of this would have happened if the army wasn't already in this desperate position.
Yeah, there were like special circumstances to get her into this place.
And she claims that she like didn't even want to be like out fighting. She said like, I'd rather just be home like spinning yarn or something. I don't know if that's true. I feel like she might have just said that to like...
I'd rather be at home.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like it was like... People were like, what's a woman doing in like the army? And she was like, I don't want to be here. Like, I feel like that's what I read into it. I don't know. It's hard to say for sure, though.
Uh-huh. That's good. I like that. Sorry, I'm tasting it. Well, now I know. It's kind of funny to me how the Burgundies, Ron Burgundies, didn't.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
The Burgundies didn't. They didn't want her. I think that's kind of funny. They didn't want her.
I mean,
were they planning to do anything? They weren't planning to kill her or try her. They just were keeping her.
They were
imprisoned?
Just kind of keeping her like as I don't know, maybe a hostage or something. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Take her.
But eventually, the English negotiated to take her instead.
She jumped out. Oh God.
So, I actually, you know, speaking of arcs, I brought something that's arc-shaped, and by that I mean a record.
It's not technically an arc, it's a circle.
Circles have arcs. Haven't you heard of, like, arc length? When you, like, trace out an arc of an angle of a circle, and then, like, you can use... Okay, anyway.
What's on the record? What's
well,
on the arc?
I'm glad you asked. Why don't we play it and find out? All right, men, you just go do some military stuff, you know, whatever, you know. Who's this?
Hey, Robert. Can I call you Bob?
Do I know you?
Well, not yet. My name is Joan.
Joan. Yes. What is it, Joan? I'm a very important military man here commanding
See,
in this nearby town
to
your
to you
town.
About. That's what I want to talk to you about.
How important I am? Yes, I know.
No, not that. But you're important enough to get me to where I need to go.
And where do you need to go?
I need to go see Dolphin.
Dolphin?
Yes.
You need to see a dolphin.
I need a military escort to him.
To him, a dolphin. Yeah. Something. Yeah. What dolphin are you talking about?
The head one. He hasn't been crowned yet. He's like pre-king dolphin.
Are you talking about Dolphin Charles?
That's the guy.
You want an audience with Dolphin Charles?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, I can get that right for you. Yes.
You sound real sarcastic.
Oh,
right
now. No. What sarcastic? No, me, no. I'm an important military leader. I would never be sarcastic. Never, ever be sarcastic.
Listen, bud. I got friends on the other side.
Oh, you should be calling me Monsieur de Baudricourt.
Nah.
Or at least Robert.
Listen, Rob, I've been seeing things lately, and what, I think it's very
important. What have you been seeing other than did you see my fist about to slam into your face if you don't stop bothering me?
That was not in the visions.
Okay, what was it then? I'm curious.
I saw some saints.
Uh-huh.
Like what I will be one day. And
well, I'm sorry,
they,
what?
And they're telling me.
Wait, I thought that one of the requirements of sainthood was like not wanting to be a saint or something.
That's not it. You should go listen to the podcast.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm an important military man. I don't have time for this.
But I saw some, they were saints, and they were telling me that I need to go help the pre-king.
I'm sorry, who are, the pre-king?
The pre-king.
His name is Dauphin Charles.
Dauphin Charles.
What, who are you again?
My name is Joan.
Where are you from?
Of Ark.
Of Ark?
Yes.
What's of Ark?
Oh, it's Ark, but I'm of the Ark.
Right, right. Well, why don't you go back to the Ark? And
it's of Ark, it's just Ark. There's no in front of it.
Why don't you go back to the Ark?
There's no the.
And tell Noah and all the animals there. Why don't you go back to all the animals and on the Ark where you're from?
What is that?
Uh-huh.
I don't know the Bible. Is that a thing?
Noah's Ark?
Is the Bible a thing?
Oh.
I don't know what that's from. Is that.
The Bible. You'd be familiar with the Bible, I believe.
The Bible?
Yes. I'm sorry. Can get out of my office.
Maybe we're outside.
I'm going into my office. Don't follow me.
It's a tent. I can still talk to you from outside.
I can't hear you.
Why are you telling me you can't hear me? You know what? You know what? I'm just going to walk away because I know when I am above a situation. And, you know what? I'm gonna go make some friends. Hey! Hey, you! What's your name?
Why, you mean me?
Yeah, you're with the Rob dude.
Yeah, I'm with him.
Let's go hang out.
Alright, I like friends.
So.
That seemed all very casual.
Yeah, was that, I guess that was the meeting between Joan and Robert de Baudricourt, the military commander in the nearby.
Who do you think was
that? I don't know. Huh.
It's a mystery.
Wow.
Maybe it was magically recorded.
That's true.
Divinely, I mean.
I did get the record at the church down the street.
You mean the one that says sinners, bad people are not loved here?
It said hurting people.
Oh.
Like people who are hurting.
Hurting
but it sort of sounds like hurt, like they love
like
hurting,
hurting
people.
Hurting people. Like hurting people accepted people.
Something like that. That one, yeah, I got it from that church. I just, like, I was walking by and then, like, a beam of light came from the sky and a record appeared in front of me.
I'm pretty sure that is not a Catholic church.
That's close enough. I mean.
Okay. You got any suggestions, corrections, or just basic questions, you can always email us at...
ask us questions.
Yes, please ask us questions.
Oh, this one, by the way, I sort of started looking into it based on a listener suggestion. They wanted us to do something about knights, and I was, like, looking up knights, and then I saw some post about how there are no female knights, because it's, like, only given to men, knighthood.
That's true.
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
But then they were like, maybe the closest thing you can get to a female knight would be, like, Joan of Arc, and I was like, well, that sounds interesting.
Uh-huh. So you're welcome.
Yeah, this was your night episode.
You don't get any more.
We might do another, but...
possibly. I did some research on one a while ago, but nothing really great turned out for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was in the middle of my outro. You can email us at the Poorly Research History podcast.
No podcast.
PoorlyResearchHistory@gmail.com. Uh-huh. PoorlyResearchHistory@gmail.com.
Yep.
Email us there.
Yeah, and ask us questions for the start of the show. You can tune back in probably every other Wednesday at least.
Probably.
To listen, although we didn't do that recently. We'll get back on it.
If you don't have a question, maybe you want to give us a suggestion. That's totally cool. Maybe you want to give us a shout out to somebody. That's rad.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do shout outs. Yeah, our music is by Richard Chavarelli.
Heck yeah, it is.
And we will see you in a couple weeks.
You sound like a ghost.
Ooh.
Room is haunted.
Who said that? What? I just woke up. Sorry, I blacked out for a second there.
Were you here at all during this episode?
Who? Hi, I'm Andrew. Nice to meet you.
Oh, no!